Welcome to the Pac-12 Men's Basketball Coaches Conference call. To ask a question, you may press star 1 on your telephone keypad. I will now turn the call over to Dave Hirsch.
All right, thank you. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Pac-12 Coaches Media Teleconference call. We'll go ahead and get started. Arizona coach Sean Miller is online. The Wildcats are on the road at Colorado Thursday and at Utah on Sunday. We'll go ahead and take questions for Coach Miller.
To ask a question, press star 1. You have a question from Jack Magruder, Fox Sports, Arizona.
Hey, Sean. It looks like all around the college landscape, it's tough to be king. And I just wondered, what do you think goes into, and I don't even know if you would call them upsets, but this, you know, series of lower-ranked teams beating higher-ranked teams?
Yeah, you know, I know a lot has been made of it, and I guess this year maybe more than ever that's been the case, but I'd like to think if you take a hard look at the last 5 years, maybe there's that one dominant team or maybe the two dominant teams in a given year that, you know, have that incredible record like Kentucky a year ago. But, you know, I think parity's been in place for some time now, more than people realize it. And, you know, I think from our perspective, during my brief time here at Arizona, you know, I feel like we've defended the Pac-10 and then the Pac-12 constantly as if, you know, we had to apologize for our conference. And I know especially 2 years ago when Derek Williams was a part of our team and we went to the Elite Eight, if you look back at the Pac-10 that year, we had incredible depth. If you look at some of the players that played in our conference then, what they're doing in the NBA now, to me it was much more misrepresented. I think part of what we're dealing with right now is we have a very, very good conference. Maybe other than the Big Ten, I would like to think that there's not a big difference between the other best conferences in the country and the Pac-12. And when you have that type of depth and key players and coaches, and you have a lot of teams playing for March, there are going to be games that are decided by a few points, and there are going to be a lot of teams that can win. And, you know, we just played Stanford and Cal, and I think both have 5 losses in our conference. I look at both of those teams as not only teams that can be a part of this year's NCAA tournament, but I think if they would be in the tournament, they could advance. It's just parity is a good thing. I don't think it takes away from the good teams as much as giving credit to the depth of our conference out here in the West is what people, I think, really need to embrace. We have an excellent conference this year.
Again, to ask a question, press star 1. We have a question from Bud Withers, Seattle Times.
Sean, it seems like it's almost forgotten that back in December you guys had a 19-point win over Miami, and they've gotten incredibly hot, as you know. What took place in that game? You guys must have really been clicking on all cylinders.
Yeah, no, thanks, Bud. I appreciate you bringing that up. You know, when we went to the Diamond Head Classic, and you guys probably are aware of this, we were under some criticism of our non-conference schedule at that time. I always felt like that it would play itself out and that criticism would go away once all of the games were played and we entered conference play, and I think that's been the case. But I don't know any of us could have really predicted what that field was like. If you think about what we participated in Hawaii there, you know, you had San Diego State, who's going to be a very high seed in the NCAA tournament, Miami of Florida, who's, you know, vying for a number one seed. You had us there. You had Ole Miss, who's having a heck of a season in the SEC, and Indiana State, who ended up winning a couple games in the Diamond Head. They, too, are having an excellent season. That was maybe the most competitive or one of the most competitive fields of a tournament that we had this year. And I think for us to win that tournament gave us a lot of credibility and will as we continue to move towards March. But I also think, Bud, it was great for our conference. The fact that we were able to play those teams and win strengthened our conference and helped the cause for all of us. And I know a lot of other teams in our league did a great job in the non-conference, but that was certainly a big moment in our season for sure.
And what did you think of that Miami team at that time? And I don't know if you've had a chance to see them at all lately, but what's been the key for them?
Well, one of the things that's amazing about Miami is they're the oldest team in college basketball. And, you know, as everybody gets captivated by the newcomers and the influx of freshmen, and people continue to say that it's a young game, you know, seniors and upperclassmen and experienced players so many times are the difference. And I think I could be wrong on this, but I believe they have two or three 50-year seniors, and they have a 60-year senior, a guy who appealed, who's playing a big role. They have a dynamic backcourt with Larkin and Duran Scott. Duran is in his senior year, and Larkin's a great sophomore point guard. But their experience, their size and strength in that backcourt, no question, is why they're successful.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Doug Holler, Arizona Republic.
John, usually about this time in the season, you can identify maybe three or four teams and, you know, as the conference front runners, but the Pac-12 has eight within two games, and I know you just touched upon this in your first question, but when you look at the standings, do you have any idea which way this thing's going to unfold or how this is going to unfold over the last 3 or 4 weeks?
No, you know, I think that the teams that have a two-game advantage at this point, it's significant. Not that things couldn't play itself out where one team could really get hot, but whoever ends up winning our conference, I think, will do something unexpected down the home stretch, you know, have a great come-from-behind victory, you know, be an underdog on the road and play a great game and win that. It's certainly not going to be easy, and there's a number of teams, you're right, that are competing, you know, for the crown. But, man, I tell you, it's difficult, I think, for all of us as coaches in our conference to stomach any type of criticism or somebody pointing out that, you know, almost anybody can beat anybody, and because of that, mediocrity is associated with it. You know, I continue to hear and have always heard that those conferences that have teams that can beat each other on a given night are among the best conferences in the country, and that's what makes it so special to be in that conference. Now that we have that going on in our conference, it has to be associated with the same thing. And to me, for five teams to be a part of this year's NCAA tournament, to me, we're a lock to have that. And I think there are more than five teams that at this point have an opportunity to be a part of the tournament. We have a great league, and when you have a great league, teams can beat each other on given nights. That doesn't make us less. That makes us more.
Hey, Sean.
Your next question comes from John Henderson, Denver Post.
Yeah, Sean, you kind of answered my question, but as a follow-up, why is the league so much better this year than a year ago?
You know, there are a couple things that stand out. We've now played everybody at least once now that we've played Cal and Stanford, but I think the front court size that teams have has never been better. You go almost to every team in our conference, and there's quality front court players. Some are better than others. You know, some are more offensive-minded, but to me, it's never in my 4 years have we gone to every game where there's size on the other team, and a lot of times older guys, experienced players in the front on the front court, and I also think that you know, we have some really good upperclassmen. It's not just a conference that has good young players, but it seems like a lot of teams, and I hope we're one of them, that you look at some talented young players, but also some real veterans like a Solomon Hill that have been through the conference and playing against Cal the other day. You look at Alan Crabb in his junior year. Now, I remember Alan when he came to McHale 2 years ago as a freshman, and he had a really big night. You know, he's not only a good player now, he's also experienced. And I think it's front court size and experience seem to be prevalent on every team.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions for Coach?
There are no questions at this time.
All right, perfect. Sean, thanks for your time today. Good luck this week.
Thank you, Dave.
We'll see you.